to know that. Praise God. I'm going to go tonight. I'm going to essentially what I'm going to do is teach part two of what I preached on Sunday night. I can't remember what week it was. Maybe it was not this last Sunday night, but the Sunday night before. We're going to go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. Did you get my email, brother? Perfect. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. I've said it a couple times, and here's just where we are. The Lord is wanting to really get this in our spirit. And as I read through this and even more, I read through it actually in the book of 1 Chronicles, and it reads a little bit different than 1 and 2 Samuel. But there is something here that I, as I was reading through the stories and reading through 1 Chronicles and comparing it with 1 and 2 Samuel, there's something the Lord just wants to impart into us tonight, and that's to catch it. And you here tonight, you're here on a Tuesday night. Sunday morning you have the crowd, Sunday night you have the hungry, Tuesday night you have the committed. And all three are different elements. And this is just another element, really. Like I said, this is kind of like I'm going to teach part two of what I preached that particular Sunday night from this passage. Because there's a back end of the story that if we can catch that, it will lift our faith. David did hear what is the will of God for us to do. And that is when men and women that were in distress, they were in debt, and they were discontented, they gathered to David, and he wasn't looking for a better audience. He wasn't looking for a more qualified group of men. But these men gathered together to him, and the Bible tells us he took ownership of them. He became a captain over them. He began to teach them things that he had learned, and he began to impart into things from his spirit and began to teach them about how to fight and how to war. This is right around the time that David would capture the city. I'm looking here in 1 Samuel 22. I'm getting mixed up here. I got four different references here. We'll get to in a minute. But David, he gathers the men together. They come to him, and he becomes a captain over them. And I'm really just going to kind of teach principle tonight and really just really casting vision for who we are. And this is an example of not just something that we are supposed to do, but who we are as a people. Jesus commanded his disciples to go and make disciples. That really is, in effect, what David did with these 400 men. There are different levels and different ways that these 400 men, the value, that the way that they were used as far as the way David taught them and men that came to the surface and how God used them. There was differences in all of these 400 men, but they all had value, and David saw their value, and he became a captain over them. If you have the Holy Ghost, you're baptized in Jesus' name, you're here on a Tuesday night, you are ahead of somebody. You have something to impart into somebody's heart, into their life. And David saw the opportunity to duplicate himself in them. Winning soul, I've just been marinating on this for a while. I don't say we've overcomplicated it. I think we've misunderstood it. When the church operates in the mother dimension of ministry, or as Brother Herring preached about when he was here, as the bride of Christ and reproduces, we think of teaching a Bible study or winning souls or being involved in the lost as an activity that I've got to get worked up to do and I've got to go do it, rather than the truth of what is actually happening, and that is we are essentially reproducing ourselves in somebody else. We teach other people how to live for God. You don't teach other people how to live for God according to how somebody else does it. You teach them how to live for God by what the Lord has already done in your life and what he has brought you through. It's mechanical things like when somebody is new in the Lord and they have a bad day, that you're able to tell them, hey, living for God, you have bad days, but you pick yourself up and you keep walking on with the Lord. The Bible says that a just man falls 7 times but gets back up again. This is what, it's simple principles of living for God, that what you begin to do is out of your spirit, you reproduce in somebody else who you are. We are a disciple-making church. We are a going church. That's who we are. Our focus is on the lost. Okay, about 30% of us. Our focus as God's people, it's always going to be on the lost souls of Springfield. That is why we exist. We don't have a Tuesday night service, so we have something to do. When we leave here tonight, we enter back out into the harvest field. And there's somebody that everybody, if you have been born again of the water and of the Spirit, there is somebody that you can lead and you can impart what is in your spirit to them. You don't have to know everything or have had to experience everything. You have something you can pass on to them, and it begins with making a friendship. They may not come to church for 9 months. That's why we've got small groups. Some of them are meeting tomorrow night and Thursday night and Friday night. There is a process of making disciples. We are a disciple-making church. A soul-winning church says, I got to get them to church. Okay, I got to get them to church this Sunday. Yeah, if you can, great. But I would rather you build a relationship with somebody over a period of a year and have their trust after a year than get them to the church on Sunday, get them in the water, and never see them again. I had somebody come to me recently talking about wanting to get baptized in a roundabout way, and I didn't say yes or no. But I was rather focused on I want to make a convert. Let's get in the Word of God. Let's see what the Word of God says. It's not about what I say. It's about what the Word of God says. And so, reproducing myself in somebody else and passing on. I heard somebody say you can teach all that you know, but you reproduce what you are. This is the way that God designed it. The bride of Christ, the mother dimension of ministry, is not to find somebody and convert them to your church. Is to get in their life, build a relationship with them, build their trust, that they know that you have something beside, you don't have your own best interest at heart in that relationship. But the Lord forms a bond between you and them, between your spirit and their spirit, and you're fulfilling the Great Commission. I may have mentioned this not too long ago. I have neighbors right now that I am in the process right now of organizing some stuff to get in, just in short, to get in their life, to minister to them. You have a ministry. Everybody here has a ministry. If you've been born of the water and of the Spirit, you have a ministry within you that can be poured out into the life of somebody else. It really is. It amounts. If I don't have any purpose beyond just going to church on Sunday and Tuesday, that'll get really old real quick. But the fulfillment that every one of you are going to find in the kingdom of God is only in the flow of God's Spirit out from you to somebody else. That's the only, once you get the Holy Ghost and you experience that with the Lord and you walk with God, then that ceases to be fulfilling like it was before. God wants to lead you on to where you are a conduit of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God is flowing out of you to somebody else and ministering to somebody else. So David brings these men together and he becomes a captain over them. You've got to take ownership of somebody. Everybody has got to have somebody in their life that you take ownership of them and you become their captain. That means you pray for them, you call them, you visit them, you fellowship with them, you look out for them, you encourage them, you teach them, you are a captain over them. Their spiritual well-being, you have taken it upon yourself, your own them under your own wing or taking ownership of them. And you, in your spirit, say, I am going to be the lifeline for them to the presence of God. It's going to come through me. And David becomes the captain over them. Well, what did he do? He taught them. These were messed up people. They were in distress. They were in debt. They were discontented. This is not what you're looking for when you're trying to gather an army together, but God saw something different when he brought these men to David. David took ownership of people that had great needs in their life and were in a bad place, and he just started working on them. He just started being a captain over them, and because of his relationship with God that he had before, because of his relationship with God that he had that started somewhere on a hillside with his father's sheep and tending sheep and spending time with the Lord, it wasn't just a time where he trained them how to fight with a sword or with weapons, but his spirit was knitted with them. His spirit was passed on to them. His spirit was imparted to them. And so when they came to him and they were in distress and they were in debt and they were discontented, that would not be the end of the story. That's how it started, but that's not how it was going to end. That's the power of somebody that has the Holy Ghost that becomes a captain over somebody. They may start out in a bad place, but just keep on being their captain. Just keep on looking after them. Just keep on discipling them. Just keep on loving them. Just keep on praying for them. Just keep on being in their life and keep on being the number one influence. And just wait till the end of the story. They will not stay like that. When somebody that has the Holy Ghost stays in their life. Without somebody, without a captain over their life, somebody that is newer, whatever, they will not stay long unless there's a captain over them. We are wired the way we are created. We are wired and created to need to have a shepherd. That's what David did. He became a captain over these men, and it was very natural to him because he had been tending sheep. He was a shepherd. So he probably took a lot of the principles of that as he became a captain over these men, and he looked after them. He, with 400 men, he would have had to come up with a type of system in order to make sure all of the men were healthy and well and that their mind and their spirit was in a good state of being for the battles that they were going to fight and what was going on in the land at that time and what was happening in the country and the transition from Saul to David and all of the things that were happening at this time in David's life. But he had 400 men and he became a captain over them. This is what God has commanded and commissioned all of us to do. There's somebody in our life that God is going to send you, that we have enough influx of new and newer people that just come on a regular basis, that every one of us can be busy with somebody. We've made follow-up a department when it should be part of our natural DNA as believers. Somebody say amen. Amen. This is what mothers do. Mothers look after the newborns. And David exemplifies this in how he looks out for these 400 men, because the end of the story is not the same. They started out, they were in distress, they were in debt, and they were discontented. These guys were messed up. But after David got through with them, that wasn't the end of the story. As David spent time with them and he gathered together and he just cared for them, he had to teach them. He had to work with them, but he kept on teaching them and he kept on working with them. And it wasn't immediately overnight. They didn't come to him and all of a sudden they're a part of his army, and so they no longer have any problems. God wants to help us in our mind, and the Lord is doing this right now. There's a major turning in our minds right now where there's a transformation that is happening. And really what we've got to get it in our spirit is that so long, see you next Sunday is not going to cut it. It is unbiblical. It's unbiblical. It doesn't work. God's kingdom will not grow like that. It will not. Soul winning is not something I do for a two-hour block on Saturday. But I am a disciple maker 7 days a week. My eyes are always open and my spirit is always sensitive to when I run into somebody and there's an open door in the spirit when the Lord is telling me to go somewhere because I need to run into somebody. And then when that relationship, when there's an open door to create a friendship there, you pursue it. And you say within your spirit, before they even know what's happening, I am going to be their captain. They don't even have to know it. But in the spirit, I am taking responsibility for them. And I am their lifeline. I am their connection. It's right here. It's going to flow through me. I'm going to wake up in the morning and when the Lord puts a scripture in my heart for them, I'm going to send them a scripture. I'm going to send them encouragement. I'm going to pray for them. I'm not going to visit them because I was in the area. I'm going out of my way. I'm going out of my way to get in their life. This is what being a captain over somebody is. It is taking the responsibility, taking it personal. This is my responsibility. I'm not waiting on somebody else to call them. But Lord, let the burden for somebody's life come over me and let me be a captain over somebody. We are just that revelation away from doubling in just a year. Somebody say amen. Amen. It really is the truth. It really is the truth. And the Lord's going to help us, and we're going to get where the Lord wants us to go. But understand these two verses of scripture. God, all of these men come to David and they are discontented. They're in debt and they're in distress. There's not a certain quality of people that need to come for God's kingdom to be built, but those that are in distress, those that are in debt, and those that are discontented. Name the problem. They're going to be there in their life. The problems that have manifested in their life. I mean, we can look around the room, and I know there's a lot of established people here, but if you go back, I know there's folks in the room that you didn't always grow up in the church, and when you came to God, you had problems. But the story now is not the same as it was when you came to God. And there are a few that do cut it out and are hungry to make it all by themselves. A few. But we as the body of Christ, we are the mother. The church is the mother. And we are the bride of Christ. Not just his body. We are the bride. And the bride, the mother looks after. And the love of Jesus Christ flows through the mother and takes ownership of souls. The reason we're here tonight is souls. That's the whole reason we're here. That's why the church exists. We don't exist to have things on the calendar, so we have things to do because we're bored. And this isn't what I'm excited about, is this is happening, especially in our small groups. We are not a church that does small groups. We are a small group church. And everybody that if you are saved, I want to strongly urge everybody to use the talent that God has invested in you for the kingdom, and to use what God has given you to bring an increase to the kingdom. And but let's go on to 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse number 8. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse number 8. These be the names. I'm going to read a few verses 8 through 21. So it'll be a little bit of a reading here. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. Now, we've skipped ahead, and it's pretty obvious where this is going. When they came to him, they were in distress, they were in debt, and they were discontented. But let some time go by and see who these men turn into. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino, the Ezanite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ohahite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. And 3 of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time, unto the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. Now, before we read on, there's a drastic change in who these men, what the Bible is describing, and what they have done. The men that came to him were in debt, they were in distress, they were discontented. But the power of being a captain over somebody and stepping out of your spiritual low self-esteem and saying, well, what am I going to teach them? You're going to teach them what has got you here on a Tuesday night. That's what you're going to teach them. Paul said, I would that you all be teachers, but you still need milk. It's the will of God for everybody to be a teacher. You may teach in your own way. You don't teach like me, I don't teach like you, but you have something to give to somebody to teach them how to live for God, how to be faithful, how to have your mind made up when life goes wrong, when the blessings of God aren't just falling out of the sky all the time, and what it's like to watch other people be blessed and it doesn't seem like you're being blessed, but you're here and you walked on with God. And then you've had seasons where you were blessed, and the seasons of life that we go through living for God. You have more to impart to people than you really realize. But we've got to step out of, well, I need to go and I need to get fed. No, you need to go and you need to feed. Amen. Jesus said to his disciple, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. He'd only had 3.5 years. We don't know exactly how old he was, how old Peter was. He might have been 30. He might have been in his 20s. There's some people that say some of the disciples might have been in their late teens. Feed them. Feed somebody. It may be in a small group setting. It may be in a home Bible study. Feed somebody. You've got something to feed them. Start working on a relationship and build the trust with somebody because you've got something to feed them. Because the Great Commission tells us to go and make disciples. Once he got done with them, there was a change in who these men were. Because when the Word of God works on people, when the Spirit of God works on people, it changes them. When God is at work, it doesn't happen overnight. You didn't get where you are overnight. None of us did. It all took a period of time. It took months. It took years. It took many years for us to grow and to develop. Don't be discouraged when it's the discontented, the in debt, the distressed that God leads you to, because he's wanting somebody like you to teach them how to get out of debt, to get out of distress, and to get out of the discontentment. We got to be captains over somebody. And David was then in an hold in the garrison of the Philistines that was in Bethlehem. David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among three, and he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them and had the name among three. Was he not most honorable of the three? Of three, therefore he was their captain. Howbeit, he attained not unto the first three. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, and who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. Now we give a lot of attention to David and Goliath. But this sounds an awful lot. This isn't David, but it's no coincidence that it kind of sounds like him. You know why? Because David's spiritual DNA got in these men. And so they began to do what David did. What David had was passed on to them. And now these great men, that very well were the ones that were distressed and discontented and in debt, that were messed up. Now the Bible's telling us of the great things that they are doing. He has a staff, and he goes down to an Egyptian who has a spear, and he takes the man's spear from him and kills him with his own weapon. Now these were not men that were just barely getting by. These men were the real deal. They were warriors on the battlefield. Where did they get it? They got it from their captain. They got it from their captain. It was passed on to them. Mighty men, valiant men. It's the will of God for us to reproduce people that get the limelight more than we do. I'll say that again. It should be our desire for us to reproduce people, to bring them into the kingdom, to teach them how to pray, to teach them how to serve God, for the call of God to come upon their life, and for them to be better at what we do through them. The Bible tells about Ananias. The Bible says, Ananias, the Lord said, Ananias, go to Damascus. There's a man named Saul of Tarsus that's blind, and he needs you to tell him what to do. Ananias had no idea that he was going to win the man to God that would write a majority of the New Testament. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. It's the will of God for people to come to God, young men and young women to come to God in this congregation, and for the call of the ministry to come upon them, and for God to send them out to evangelize the nation, and for their name to be known through the Pentecostal movement. But somebody here sitting here tonight is the one that trained them and taught them. And your name may never be known on a large scale, but we've got to be willing to say, God, I'm willing to win somebody and to be a captain over somebody, and them to be called into the ministry and people never know my name. But then to be so mightily used of God that the entire church world hears of the exploits that God is doing through them. How amazing would that be? Ananias wasn't disappointed from anything we see in Scripture. He wasn't mad. How come I don't get to preach? He just simply followed the voice of God. And he did what God told him to do. And Saul of Tarsus would be the Apostle Paul, who would travel the world. And his ministry would affect so many people. And here we have a majority of the New Testament through him. David reproduced himself in people. He didn't get them to believe what he believed. He reproduced himself in them. Yeah, did they believe what he believed? Yeah. Discipleship is not winning souls, and winning souls is not discipleship. Yeah, there's probably a lot of us in here that have invited somebody to the church. Invited someone to church, they've come and got baptized and got the Holy Ghost. And that's awesome. That's great. But there's a step beyond that. Not everybody is gifted to bring loads of people into church that you can just go up to somebody, strike up a conversation, and bring them to church. That really, in reality, that's a gifting of evangelism. I think I said this recently. What we have defined as evangelist in the Pentecostal movement is not actually evangelist. We've missed it. And this has been a lot of conversation amongst a lot. There's a lot going on right now. It's really an amazing time right now, because there's a transition that's happening in the church, understanding the fivefold ministry and the giftings. Evangelist, the gifting of an evangelist, is not somebody that goes traveling church to church to preach. We have made it that. But in reality, in so many situations, it's just a traveling ministry or a harvester. They're not an evangelist. We call ourselves evangelists if we go and preach somewhere. That's not necessarily what it is. Evangelism, biblically, is largely local. It's somebody that has a gifting to go and talk to people and invite them to the house of the Lord. Bishop and I were talking about this afternoon here at the church, and there's got to be the representation of the fivefold ministry at the local level. We, for a long time, in the Pentecostal movement, there's prophets in that city, there's an apostle over there, there's a gifted teacher over there. We'll have pastor and teacher in a church, and that's all we have. We got to call the evangelist that lives in that city, and he'll travel through, and he'll be the evangelist. We've missed it. The fivefold ministry has got to be represented in the local church. Man, I didn't mean to get off on this. Take evangelism. You just use that. That's an easy one. That is a gifting. Not everybody has the ability to just walk up to a stranger or strike up a conversation and be completely comfortable with that and then bring them to church. That is a gift. Not everybody has that. Not everybody's supposed to have it. But rather, when somebody is used by God in that particular gifting, We celebrate it, we recognize it, and we're not jealous of it. We just recognize that they are used in that gift. And we got to talking about the nine gifts of the Spirit. It's just as biblical for somebody to be used in the working of miracles as it is a word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, or interpretation of tongues, or gift of tongues. We're real comfortable with the gift of tongues and interpretation or the word of prophecy. But who in here is God wanting to use in the working of miracles just as often as a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues? What if we saw miracles happening just as often as somebody giving out a message in tongues? It's the will of God. And whoever is used in a gift of prophecy isn't jealous of the person that's used in the working of miracles. And the person that's used in the working of miracles isn't jealous of the person that's used in gifts of healing and the nine gifts of the Spirit. But we recognize that somebody is sharp in that area and God uses them in that area. And the nine gifts we've really kind of got maybe the 3 to 5 gifts, maybe 6. But we put the working of miracles like it's the hardest one or the gift of faith. Well, you may go in some scenarios in some churches and tongues and interpretation may be like a stretch of faith for some people. Not here. It's normal. Word of prophecy, boom, goes out. We receive it. We can tell when it's on. We can tell when it's from God. And there's a witness of the Holy Ghost that's there. I didn't mean to get off on all that. How I got there, I don't know. Reproducing ourselves in somebody else. How God uses you, what God has brought you through, the trials of life that you have gone through. God will use that and you teach them how to live for God. How did you make it? What struggles did you go through? What difficulties did you battle with? What was your quest of learning how to pray? What was your quest in revelation of the Word of God and getting into the Word of God and learning it? What has your walk been like? Impart that to somebody else. You're ahead of somebody. You can be a captain over somebody when we receive the burden of the Lord for somebody and we're willing to walk in it. Let's lift our hands for a moment and love the Lord. Can we do that right now? In the name of Jesus, Lord, let there be a transformation by the renewing of our mind. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over every stronghold of the mind that says that we cannot be a captain. In the name of Jesus, these are captains in this room. We are captains in the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let there be a revelation that comes and transforms our mind in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. The easiest for us to really grasp a hold of is looking at the next generation that's 8, 9, 10, and teenagers. They're going to do what we teach them. They will be what we teach them to be, what we expect, what we impart into them. If I want my kids to be worshipers, I got to be a worshiper. I exemplify, I do. When we're at home, we talk about it through the week. Zion came up to me Sunday morning over here and said, "Dad, will you pray for me?" "Yeah, I'll pray for you." "Do you want to get the Holy Ghost?" "Yeah, I want to get the Holy Ghost." Didn't quite get there. But when we left, man, that was so awesome that you wanted to pray. Okay, yeah, okay, he's 5. But somebody that's brand new, that's growing in the Lord, we don't look at somebody that's brand new as though, well, they should know this. No, we didn't know it. I didn't know it. You didn't know. We all had to grow. And a healthy mother loves all of the little things that the child does. It's beautiful to them. You don't look at a 2-year-old and say, "Oh, you're so immature." You're 2. And I love you for being 2. Love my kid for being 1. I could hear him screaming through the floor just a second ago. I think I'm getting hearing damage from how bad as screams are. But he's one. He's what he does. My 8-year-old is 8. I celebrate her being 8. I celebrate my 5-year-old being 5. But I'm imparting to them now, teaching them now. I lay my hands on them every night before they go to bed. The thing I say before they go to bed, Lord, use them powerfully in your kingdom. Every night. Every night. Lord, use them powerfully in your kingdom. I don't just want them to be saved. They're going to be saved. I want them to be a vessel that God uses them powerfully. I'm getting them ready. I'm imparting things into their spirit for how God is going to use them. The same principle is true with every Bible study you get, every new person that comes to home fellowship group, to every new person you get a Bible study with. Everything. Become their captain. Let the Lord put that burden on you. I'm going to be their captain. I'm going to go after them. I'm going to be their lifeline. I'm going to impart to them. When they get the Holy Ghost, you stay on them. It's not, hey, see you next week. No. You're involved in their life every day. The baby needs the mama every day. And watch that slow change happen. There are people in this room that you weren't the same person. You're not the same person you were a year ago. Growth is slow, but if there's a captain over them, they will grow. Where'd I go? And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man. An Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff and plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. Was that the last verse? Is that 21? Okay. These in those verses 8 to 21, it tells of the mighty things that these men did. I'm not sure if David looked at them when they came to him, when they were in distress and when they were in debt and when they were discontented, and he might have looked at him and said, "Ooh, rough bunch. Don't know what we're going to do with this crew. I don't know." But all we know is he became their captain, and he looked out for them, and he taught them, and he loved them, and he imparted into them, and he taught them who he was. And when we get to the flip side of the story, when these men have had some time of training and they've had some time where David worked on them, now they're going down into a valley and they're fighting Philistines so much that their hand cleaves to their sword. And one man slew 800 Philistines. One man takes a spear out of the Egyptian hand and slays him with his own weapon. And the mighty things these men did on the battlefield, the same is true in the spirit realm. You have fought spiritual battles. God is going to use you to teach new people about spiritual warfare and how to win battles and how to understand when the enemy is fighting them in their mind, and the battle that they're in is not a physical battle, but it is a spiritual battle, and you're going to lead them and you're going to teach them how to pray, and you're going to teach them how to get to the altar when they don't feel like coming to the altar, and you're going to teach them that, hey, you got to get a hold of God. I know you're struggling right now, but this is just a spiritual battle. I'm here with you. I'm going to teach you how to win. I'm going to teach you how to fight. I'm going to teach you how to be successful in the kingdom of God. Shift of thinking. It is a daily, weekly, monthly process that we don't just get back into our groove of life and forget about what God has added. So many people, and we've had soul winners mindset. I get somebody to church, get the Holy Ghost, and I want all that. I'm not discouraging that. I'm saying there's another side to that. Discipleship. Be a captain. God's going to make something out of them that they're not that right now, but let the Holy Ghost work on them, and let the Holy Ghost work on them through you. It's the love of Jesus Christ that flows through you. The Bible says that love never fails. I believe the emphasis in that scripture, when I saw it like that, it really changed how I saw it. It's not that love never fails. Love never fails. It never fails. When the love of God is flowing through you to somebody and you're ministering to somebody, just keep working on them. Keep going through the motions. It may seem like there's not a lot of growth there from day to day or week to week, but look back 6 months later. Who you are as a captain will be transferred to them. Every one of you in this room, you have elements to you that define who you are. If I were to take the time to go across the entire room, I could pick out something about you that I know and that I see and that I sense from your spirit that is unique. I will use one as an example, and that's the only one I'll use just because I can't go to everybody, but I was born ready. It just comes out of your spirit. It's an element to you that while you may have, you're working a business that you have started, you've got grit and determination that can be passed on. And I use that as an example of everybody. Hey, you have something about your walk with God that is unique, that stands out. Something that you have dug out yourself that is a part of your own spiritual DNA that has become a part of who you are. That needs to be passed on and reproduced in somebody else. David probably didn't think that these men were going to be valiant men. I don't know what he thought. They were discontented, they were distressed, and they were in debt. But he became a captain over them. And every single person here tonight, God's not trying to get you to be a soul winner. There's only a few people that are gifted in evangelism that can get immediate results. But everybody can be a disciple maker. You can build a relationship and you can love somebody. And love never fails. It never fails. It doesn't matter what your personality is, what your giftings are or they are not. Everybody that has the Holy Ghost can allow the love of Christ to flow through you and build a relationship with somebody and love them and have an open door to teach them and bring them to God. And when you bring them to God, the job isn't done. That's just the first travail. Then there's the second travail, that Christ be formed in you. That's the discipleship process. That's the process of being a captain over somebody that's in distress, that's discontented, that's in debt. It doesn't matter where they are when they come to God. Be a captain over them. Impart to them. Love them. Take them on as your own project spiritually and say, I am going to be the one that helps establish them and that turns them into a warrior for the kingdom of God. I'm going to teach them how to fight spiritual battles. I'm going to teach them how to be faithful by being in their life and exemplifying it, by exemplifying the love of Jesus Christ to them, by showing them how to live for God. I'm not going to just tell them, but I'm going to be the living example in their life, how to pick up the sword of the Spirit and how to fight battles and how to be victorious in living for God. 1 Chronicles 12, verse number 1. Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag while he yet kept himself close because of Saul the son of Kish, and they were among the mighty men. Watch this. Helpers of the war. Next verse. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. Of his mighty men, there were the ones that did these greatest exploits, right? They did all those ones that we just listed in the last reading that we just did. But then there were ones that the Bible mentions, they were helpers of war. They might not have been the ones that got all the limelight of his mighty men, but they played an important part just right here. There are going to be people that the Lord uses you to disciple, and there may be that evangelist that comes out of this church that goes around the world. And you may have some other ones that don't necessarily go around the world and are not used in that ministry, notable of a ministry worldwide. But they are helpers of war. They're armed with bows. They could use both the right hand and the left. They're still powerfully used in the army. They just have a different position. That's no less valuable. They're just used of God differently. There may be people that you teach a Bible study and they catch it immediately. Boom.
Some that grow faster than others and begin to be used in ministry faster than others. And seems like they go higher and quicker than others. Like the chief of his mighty men. And then there's other people that may not grow quite as quick, but they're still valuable in the kingdom of God. They're no less valuable. They just have different ministries. This is making sense to everybody. Helpers of war. Everybody's got a place in the kingdom of God. Everybody is part of the body. Different people have different ministries and different levels of ministry, and God uses them differently. But these men, there was out of those men that came to David that were distressed, discontented, and in debt, there's a circle of them that did these great exploits. One kills a two lion-like men, and then he goes down and kills a lion in a pit on a snowy day. And then there's one that faces an Egyptian, and he takes his spear out of his hand and he kills him. And then there's another one that kills 800 Philistines. There's another that kills 300. There's one that fights so long his hand cleaves to his sword. These are the ones that we look at. Okay, man, something happened to them. But there was a group also that the Bible says they were helpers of war. They were still in the fight and they mattered. They were a part of the body. They were a part of the army of the Lord. Everybody in the room has a different ministry. Just because some people, it seems, are maybe more notable or in the limelight does not mean that they are more valuable. Everybody has value in the kingdom of God. But when you, as the body of Christ, when we leave here tonight and we're teaching Bible studies in living rooms and we're meeting people and we're loving them and we're creating relationships and we are discipling them and we're bringing them closer to God, one Bible study at a time, one weeknight at a time, or one conversation at a time, there are going to be those that grow at a faster rate, and they're going to be used in specific ministries. And it may seem like, wow, they really went far. They were really used by God very quickly, or they grew at a more rapid rate. And then there's others that is taking a little longer for them to come along. They are no less valuable. It's just there's different levels of ministry and how God uses them. Powerfully used, they mattered, but they all started out distressed, discontented, and in debt. They were messed up. But David became a captain. And by virtue of you being here on a Tuesday night, is confession by attendance that you can be a captain over somebody because you're ahead of somebody. And you can begin the process of imparting to them and bringing them to Jesus, bringing them into the kingdom, and teaching them, and reproducing yourself in them. And when it's all said and done, they're going to fight battles. And when they fight, it's going to look an awful lot like you. When they are used by God, they're going to have traces and elements of your spiritual DNA in them. That means they're probably going to sound a little bit like you when they pray. They're going to look a little bit like you when they worship. Mannerisms and traces of your spiritual DNA is going to be imparted to them because they're going to have watched you live for God. They're going to have watched you be faithful. And they're going to have learned how to live for God by watching you and catching what's in your spirit. So we're going to tear off. We're gonna go at it until we get it out of our spirit. This spiritual low self-esteem or idea that I can't impart anything to anybody. That's a lie from hell. It's not Bible and it's not true. We are the body of Christ. And if you are born again, you can be a captain over somebody. You can be that lifeline to somebody to bring them to God. Stand with me. I've got one more scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. There's more than just a couple of things that happen in the kingdom of God. Are gifts and administrations and governments, are those not valuable? Yes, they are valuable. You may not be using a word of prophecy, but gifts of helps and governments, administrations. Those men that were helpers of war, they could have just thrown their arrows down and said, well, I'm not one of the big dogs, so forget this. I didn't get used. No. They were valuable and powerful where they were. They were a part of the army of the Lord because they first started off discontented, in debt, and distressed. And that's every one of us when we come to God. We're emotionally and spiritually bankrupt. We are our relationships are messed up. Everything. And then we get the Holy Ghost. And God starts working on our character. He starts working on our relationships. And it flows into everything in our life. And now here we are with stability. But at one time, that wasn't the case. But thanks be to God that we're here tonight in our right mind, with our feet underneath us, with our feet planted on the rock, and we know where our future is, and we may not know what tomorrow brings, but we know that God's got it all under control. We have stability of mind and stability of spirit when the world doesn't have that. Let's come around the front tonight for a few moments. We're going to pray together. Hallelujah. You as a body of Christ, as saints of God, I can't make anybody, I can just throw this out there and hope you catch it. But I want everybody that wants to be used by God to be willing to tear down the stronghold of your mind that says, I can't. I can't. Or I'm not good enough. Or whatever. And every single one of us that want to be used by God have got to do what David did. Be a captain over the discontented, those in debt, those that are distressed. They don't know, there's so many people in the world, they don't have control of their mind. They don't have control of their thoughts and their emotions. And there's no peace and there's anxiety and their mind is a wreck. Those are the type of people that God wants us to be a captain over. You may be the only sane thing that comes across their phone when you send them a text message that's encouraging. You have no idea how that will be like water in a desert for somebody who's living in a world that's full of chaos in their mind. But somebody full of the Holy Ghost that says, I'm a captain and I see they're struggling and I know that they need encouragement and I am going to be the encourager in their life. I'm going to be the one that pushes back worry. I'm going to be the one, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I'm going to be the one that walks into their life with authority. And I know that demonic spirits are working on their mind, but I'm going to take authority over what is attacking their mind. And I'm going to be the one that pushes back the darkness in their mind. I'm going to be the one that brings the light of Jesus Christ and shines it in their life. I'm going to be the captain in the spirit in their life. Would you lift up your hands right now? In the name of Jesus, I take authority and dominion over every spirit of low self-esteem in the name of Jesus. Lord, we tear down that stronghold in the name of Jesus. We are captains in the spirit. We are captains in the spirit. We are going to captain the lost, the distressed, the in debt. Lord, those that are discontented. Lord, those that don't know what to think. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to have healthy relationships. They don't know how to live. God, we're going to be the captain in their life. We're going to take ownership for them in the name of Jesus. Lord, you're going to use us powerfully in the kingdom. Lord, they're going to be discipled and they're going to be used powerfully in the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's going to use you. But we got to tear down every strong. You know, and we're going. Strongholds of the mind can be so subtle that you can have one and not even really realize that you've had a stronghold on your mind about how you think. That's what strongholds do. They wreck your thinking. You can't think straight. And Satan operates in subtlety to the point that you not be thinking straight and you don't know you're not thinking straight. It seems normal. One of the biggest strongholds of the mind that we have battled with is this right here, that I can be an effective captain and I can show someone else how to live for God. I can. You've got it. You've got what it takes. You're not missing something. We're all imperfect. We're all growing. We've all got rough edges. It is what it is. It's going to be that way until the rapture because we're human. And we have taken the human elements and disqualified ourselves. And I take authority over that disqualifying spirit. We're going to do what David did. And when the distressed and the discontented and the in debt wind up in our life, I can't fix all their problems, but I can speak the word of God and I can get them to the place where they're on their own two feet and they've got a sword in their hand and they're attacking the Philistines and they're attacking spiritual darkness and they're a part of the kingdom of God. And they're not just here sitting on a chair, but they're right in the middle of what God is doing because I showed them how to do it. Lift your hands one more time to the Lord before we go. In the name of Jesus, would you lift your voice and pray in the Holy Ghost? Let there be a release in this place right now. God, we receive it in Jesus' name. We are captains in the Spirit. Let us catch the vision when we sit down in a living room this week that I have authority in the Spirit, that they are hearing me and they are receiving the word of the Lord, and they are going to grow and they are going to be mighty warriors for the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands to the Lord tonight and give him praise right now. Hallelujah. 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 You're going to get them. There's going to be some homeless folks that get on their feet, that go from the bottom. They're going to get it. They're going to get it. It's going to happen. Not everybody's hungry for it, but there's some that are. And we're going to find the ones that are, they may be discontented, in debt, and distress, but they want to get on their feet. And that's not just a homeless situation. That's just in life spiritually. They want to be right with God. They want to live right for God, and they want to figure it out. They pursue God. God's going to use you. We're captains in the Spirit. Take ownership of somebody and become their captain. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.